Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to episode 319 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on October 11th, 2018, late night. My name is Dan Gorman, and over here is our crowning achievement in amusement technology, an electronic version of what you call table tennis.
My name is Greg LeGros, and I don't know why more kids aren't named Death is Sweeter Than Life. Fine bow you have here.
And my name's Jamie Dew. Knock, knock. Who's there? Eric Estrada. Eric Estrada who? Eric Estrada from Chips.
We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. Casey is out for the week, and Jamie filling
in.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hi, Jamie Dew.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah. you guys have a podcast together.
Yeah.
So we should plug that.
Okay. We sure.
Right
yeah.
off the top.
Let's mm-hmm. plug it right off the top.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. I mentioned it on the show before.
Yes.
But yeah, we do a fully and completely Tragically Hip podcast where we go through all of the albums in chronological order. Am I doing the thing?
Yeah, you are.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Give it a listen.
Yeah.
We added all of Gord's solo albums.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
me too.
Like
that was a good
episodes
move.
Or so far. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet. We're about at the halfway mark, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Sad.
It is sad. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, sadness. And I feel like it's going to get sadder.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
it's really
going to
get sad at the end.
I do like that. I saw some people on the Facebook group saying, like, oh, I'm so glad that you guys liked the one that you did in Violet Light, because. Mm-hmm. I do think that they're a band that have a really interesting career. I'm not a huge fan, but you've played me stuff on this show. Like, you gave us one of the later albums, and it was really cool and interesting. And I feel like they're a band that a lot of people kind of, like, didn't fall off of. But I feel like they do have stuff in the late career where, like, it's actually not as talked about as much.
No, but it's, like, remarkably good. The second half of their career that wasn't super popular was fucking dynamite. There was no... They didn't, like, you know, well, let's just phone it in and do some blues riffs going on.
I am absolutely discovering that, yes. Yeah. I'm one of those people that sort of fell out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so they were still trying real hard. Really putting something into it. It's great. But not in a gross, like, U2 trying hard
way. Oh, God. That's the worst.
Yeah, don't try like that.
No.
No one like that. Anyway.
But, so, check it out fully and completely.
Yeah, man.
With Greg and Jamie.
It's on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's on Spotify.
Yeah, totally. So you could listen.
Hey,
and
see
then...
next Wednesday is on Spotify.
Yeah, we're Spotify, too. Yeah.
It's a segue.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Check it out. Yeah. Check us out there. Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. And tell all your friends about us in real life.
Realizing podcasts are on Spotify was a game changer for me. It was great.
Yeah.
Like the app I use is fine, but it's just so much easier.
Yeah, when you're in there already.
I'm just like,
because
I'm always in there anyway. So, yeah. It's nice to queue them up. I'm like, oh, right, this is here.
Yeah.
It's good.
Sweet.
Good.
So.
News.
News and things that we've been watching. I wrote down some news. And I'm going to open it up and look at it right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been off for a little while, but there's lots of new news.
Mm.
I wrote down that there was a trailer that came out today. the Pet Sematary trailer.
Oh, I didn't get a chance.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I hear it looks great, though.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the directors of Starry Eyes, which Greg and I have talked about on the show a couple times.
Yeah, good movie.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
This looks great, and I really want to see it. I don't know really what else to say. I really like that John Lithgow's in this as Judd.
Yeah.
What a great cast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the first movie, yeah, you remake this one because that first movie's not good. It's not a good movie.
I like it, but yeah, it's not.
It's fine.
It's
pretty,
got some amazing things in it.
It does have some moments. Yeah. As far as trashy like or lower tier Stephen King movies go, it's not bad.
Yeah. Like there's some genuinely frightening stuff in that movie. I feel like the worst thing about that movie is the cast is just like solid. Like they're just kind of like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there were some more heavy hitters in it, maybe it would feel a little bit more well remembered.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is a problem.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed with it ultimately for years. Like I took a long time before I could just appreciate it as like a mid-grade, okay horror movie because Pet Sematary was the first Stephen King novel I read and it scared the fucking shit out of me and it turned me into a Stephen King junkie. And then I immediately devoured everything I could find. So I found out there's going to be a movie. I was like, yeah, that book was terrifying. I saw the movie. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots.
I could do better.
That's
so is this what's
going to
happen now? Like, is everything going to get remade and done like with more prestige? Is that
hope
the idea?
So. Well, yeah, I guess so. Because this is, they're like treating this like a real property.
It looks very obviously true to the source material. It looks very reminiscent of the first film. I would say it does kind of carry over the Starry Eyes directors have that kind of sort of it's not outwardly colorful. It's very drab looking and Starry Eyes kind of had a little bit of that. It was kind of grimy. So it brings that over. And the only thing about the trailer that I wasn't 100% sold on is there was a lot of shots of like kids roaming around the cemetery wearing like weird like wooden masks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, that just looks like a little bit like a modern scare twist, like it just looked like something that was not what I expected, but it's otherwise
very
looks really
safe
good.
Either. Yeah, wooden masks. My God.
Yeah,
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So absolutely,
it looks really good. I'm on
when does it come out?
I'm not sure.
Is it this? Is it this year though?
It's soon. Yeah,
it should be before Halloween if they know what they're doing.
So. But that's late for a trailer then.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not until April.
Oh, next year?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
So
April.
Yeah, April 5th.
Okay, I guess they want that summer.
Yeah.
Early summer. That's fair enough. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
But they don't want to compete with Halloween and...
yeah, it's true.
All the nothing else that's coming out for Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also... The big news I wrote down was about James Gunn.
Yeah. That's bananas.
James Gunn wanting to... Or maybe being attached to a Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah. And I hear they're giving him clean slate. He can... They're like, if you want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and start over, you fucking go ahead, buddy. You do what you want.
Can you imagine if they didn't?
Yeah. He just keeps everybody.
Okay, you've got
I'm sure... I bet the only thing is like, we'd like to keep Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
But everything else... Who gives? We don't give a fuck.
Will Smith, maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No one needs. He doesn't need to be there.
Sure.
So like a character no one's ever heard of. no one cares. I mean, I've heard of him, but I don't care for him. He's not a. No one cares.
Yeah.
That's not like
fine.
He's fine. Exactly is the way he is. Fine.
So I'm a wrestling guy, and I was on my wrestling website yesterday, and they actually had something from Dave Bautista. Talking about how he's already basically said he wants to be part of this.
He wants to be a part
if Gunn's
of it.
Part of it. He's so on board with Gunn.
Yeah.
He wants to be part of it.
This is
well,
one
maybe
of those...
we'll get a correct Bane now.
Yeah.
Why not?
This news was one of those kind of weird scenarios where my initial reaction was like, oh, I don't want him to go do a Suicide Squad movie. Really? Like, I like what he is doing and it didn't excite me. But then when it was like, he wants to jump on and maybe he'll be able to like... do something interesting and they'll give him sort of like free reign. Then the more I started thinking about it, the more I thought like, oh, this could be good. Because at first I was like, oh, this is great for DC, but not really for Gunn because I don't really want him stuck because they've been fucking everything up. Like,
seems
I don't want
like
him
it.
Over there. But then it does kind of seem like maybe they'll
but
give him.
They're free to start over now.
Yeah.
Superman's gone. Batman's gone. They are starting over.
Yeah.
So, you know,
they
need it.
Why don't they just get the cartoon people to take over, like, their universe?
Yeah, they've got that down. DC Animated
is
great.
It really
is. Really good.
I love all those movies.
There's a newish one, isn't there? I keep seeing stuff for like, Batman animated movies. I'm like, they make a lot of those.
They do. And they're all quite good. The only one that I really didn't care for was The Killing Joke.
Yeah, I heard that wasn't great.
Yeah. I didn't mind it, but you probably were...
They added all of this stuff that wasn't in it with, like, Batman banging Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, which is weird because he's, like, buddies with Jim Gordon, Commissioner Gordon.
It's sort of weird, yeah.
Sorry, I banged your daughter.
Yeah.
I'm a bat. and then he's cold and, like, a dick about it. And, like, what are we doing here? This isn't adding anything to the story, because if you know the story, it doesn't end very well for Barbara. It's a rough... Anyway, it's stupid. Almost as stupid as drawing Batman's dick in a comic.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this?
What?
I heard rumblings of this.
Yeah. DC released their new, mature line of comics for the adult reader.
Dicks.
And apparently that's what they want. In the first issue of Batman Damned, I believe the title is, Batman comes home from Batmaning and strips out of his... bat suit, and there's his dick.
That is,
it's like in shadow, but it's like it's almost worse that they drew, like, it's like a front shot of him front naked, but deep shadow. But then there's like a shimmer of light just catching like the Vader helmet and
Don't
why
say
did
that.
You draw his dick? Why?
Yeah.
Who was like, does Batman have a dick? I need to know. Show me his dick. How big is it? Which side does it swing to? Hard to the right.
I'll be Googling something tonight for sure.
Yeah, check it out. It's fucking bananas. Now they're backing hard on it. It's been, I gotta stop saying hard.
And bananas.
It's been removed from all digital versions of this and all future print versions. It's going to be gone. So if you got that bat dick, it's going to be worth money later. Yeah, get your bat dick now. But that's insane.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Wow. Yeah. Who's asking for that? And has somebody,
like, more
has
than
somebody
two people had to be like, get it out there.
Yeah.
You know, I had to go through like a lot of hands.
Or they were really trying to be like, you know, it's the adult line, so, like, if he's naked, we might as well just, like, draw it as if he was naked, and then didn't think, like, we don't need to, we also don't have to do that.
That's right.
Because
then they had to reverse
engineer
the scenario where they're like, all right, so how are we going to do this?
Yeah, it's not like,
is this supposed to be like a Dennis Franz thing, you know? Like, look at his butt.
Batman blue.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, I can't imagine anybody, whoever was, like, the spearheading of the DC dark stuff, adult, I can't think of what it's called. The division. Like, I can't imagine. He's like, okay, you guys got the first Batman? Yeah, we're ready. Is it darker stories, psychological, mature themes? Well, what is it? We put his dick in there?
His dick is in the shadows.
Yeah. We drew a dick on Batman? Is that what you want? I guess so. Fine. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Batman's dick. It's in a comic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, James Gunn. Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
That could
work.
Seriously be something. I mean, and it's hilarious that they got him, because it was Guardians of the Galaxy that made them go, we got to get this thing together. Oops, now we have to make it funny.
Yeah.
Whoops, we didn't.
Yeah.
And here's now the guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, he can write it. He can do whatever he wants. It's like balls in his court.
Totally.
Which could be.
See what happens.
Really something.
Yeah.
This could be their game changer.
Yeah. They've been looking for one.
Yeah.
Sure have.
And I feel like James Wan's Aquaman won't be it. So.
Gotta say, I like that trailer.
Did you see that 5-minute trailer?
No, I didn't see that.
That is
too long
nuts. There's a new one that's like 5 minutes long.
I saw something before a movie and it was like, it's the kind of trailer that made me go, that doesn't look great, but like I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it. Which I didn't expect to feel like that about this Aquaman movie.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing these last few movies.
Did you see the suit?
Yeah.
Did you see him in the suit, though?
In the orange one?
Yeah.
Did he do the orange and green?
So that's where the 5-minute trailer sort of builds to this.
Oh, really?
Moment. Yeah.
Interesting.
Any good?
Yeah. It looks kind of cool because there he is. He's fucking Aquaman all of a sudden.
It's about time. Not,
Yeah.
Is he going to bleach his hair and.
Ride a seahorse, I hope so.
It's the kind of movie where I will watch it and like, I'm hoping for, that was really dumb, but I was entertained, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Sure was a lot of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
too much, if you ask me.
Wonder Woman, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig, the villain there, that's cool.
Yeah, I guess they've got that going
that
for
is
them.
Cool. Yeah. They have that.
Wonder Woman.
So, like, you've got the, like, you know,
things
make,
that could
you know, reroute your whole franchise, center it on Wonder Woman, have a wild card fucking work like Suicide Squad. They've got Shazam, which might be a thing.
Yeah.
And the coming out
that looks
too.
Like it's good. I think that actually
like
has me really excited. Yeah,
totally.
I used to love that cartoon.
Yeah, man. And then you have the open ability to recast and reinsert Batman and Superman whenever you need to.
Once you've got the world under control, bam! Yeah, you introduce your two.
Then you bring in
two
the
biggest
big
characters,
heavy hitters, right?
They should hire us.
Yeah, but it could work. Right? Is like, well, I don't know. I mean, Marvel's doing fine.
Yeah.
And their next phase looks. Great, really exciting characters, like super fucking cool.
Does that count as news though? That Chris said that's it for him as Captain America?
No, that's kind of like once again reiterating my contract's up. And I'm
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we all know.
That's one of those things that I feel like needs to happen more in the world of superhero movies. Is I want more movies where characters are played by like whoever. I want it more like Bond movies, like the idea of that. Of even like that new Spider-Man movie just being like the other dimension Spider-Man over here. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I like the idea of why don't they do an X-Men movie? I feel like Matthew Price used to say this a lot on Mamo, like do an X-Men movie with like the other ones that no one has seen in movies before. Like there's so many people that have been X-Men in the comics, like, you know, or if somebody decides they don't want to be Spider-Man anymore and then just make another movie with a different person. I don't care. The continuity goes through. It's the character. Like,
you
don't
have to reboot it every fucking
time. Comic books.
No more origin stories, for the love of God.
Just start a new version of it. With a new person.
Speaking of that Spider-Man trailer,
that looks
Into the Spider-Verse.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Did you see
Spider-Ham?
No,
the animated Spider-Man movie?
I saw the very first trailer for it. But
you got to see the second trailer.
The new trailer is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
You certainly can't.
It looks fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
The animation is unbelievable how cool
it
looks.
It looks like a crazy fun, unbelievable.
And who made it? It's big names that made it, right?
I don't know if it is. I think it's people that are from the world of animation. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was
It is somebody.
They probably made other stuff, right? I'll get it up here.
Is it not Lord Miller?
It is Lord Miller, isn't it?
I think it's Lord Miller.
Really?
I think so. Like, I don't know that, you know, I don't think they drew it.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't draw it. But really interesting voice acting going on. Who's...
There is three directors, Bob Persichetti, Peter Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman.
Oh,
who
okay.
wrote it?
And, well, they did some writing work on 22 Jump Street, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, producer.
That's, from some people aligned with other people you are aware of.
Animation department on, like, Puss in Boots, people that were worked on Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Like, so I feel like it's people that have been working in the animation world for a long time.
I don't know why I got
or
that
writing,
mixed up thinking that it was...
Oh, yeah, written by Phil Lord.
Okay.
Yeah. So there.
Yeah. So they were involved. He was involved in
this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It looks really
It looks so good.
Yeah. I think
good
it's so
God.
Cool that Spider-Ham is in it.
Yeah.
That's
and
so
it's fun.
And voiced by John Mulaney.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
The trailer, that moment in the trailer is amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
Bastards, I wanted to see this thing.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah. And the thing about the animation that's so cool is they're doing this, like, this frame rate thing where a lot of the characters have that kind of sort of stop motion-y look, but then the backgrounds can change from scene to scene. So, like, some of it's kind of like more neon comic booky, and then other ones are a little bit more like pseudo realistic, and it really works.
Yeah.
Because it can just go in any direction depending on what kind of scene is happening. It's super comic booky, super beautiful looking. It just looks like they're really pulling off an amazing visual thing. Yeah.
Oh, I can't
Pretty
wait.
Good. Oh, yeah. That's
I
exciting.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Speaking of, well, I was going to say speaking of Mulaney, but is there any other news on anyone's mind?
No.
Okay. Well, speaking of Mulaney,
yes.
I watched all of season two of Big Mouth.
Oh,
wow.
I still haven't finished season one. Yeah. I liked what I saw.
I'm
like
three episodes into season one.
I'm about there, yeah.
I really enjoyed season one and kind of forgot about it until this new season just dropped. And then Emma and I sort of just like totally went through it in like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
It's so easy, just a half hour.
Yeah.
And I still really, really like it. And I was thinking about it last night because some of it is so vulgar that it gets to the point where I'm like, all right, you thought up something so disgusting. Okay. Like, it's some of it is almost like too much for me. But what I love that they're doing is that they are pulling off that really, really hard thing, which is where you can be super vulgar, but then the stuff that they're talking about and the topics that they're tackling, they're always landing on their feet with like their sort of issue like episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was just thinking about it last night. Like, on the one hand, I was like, wow, this is so vulgar, so like mind-blowingly vulgar that like if someone was just to like some kid was to stumble upon it, I don't know what I would think. Like, but then I thought, but it's also kind of brilliant to have this extremely vulgar show and have like the idea that it's almost forbidden. Like, if I can imagine there are kids that are have access to Netflix that are like, we're not supposed to watch this, but like we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
And then they get an episode about like a whole episode about Planned Parenthood and how like it's not a place that it just does abortions. It's about all this other stuff. And it's like they've snuck attacked this like really, really great, positive, you know, a reinforcement. It's like you're sneaking it into these like stories that are so vulgar and hilarious. And I feel like it's overall just such a nice, like, I don't know, like show that is doing good while also being disgustingly hilarious in a
like
weird way.
Like sort of taking the torch from like South Park has become, it's almost like too much now.
Yeah.
Not from a vulgarity standpoint, but like we've seen everything and
yeah,
they're really good at covering
and
things.
It was like funny and they always had like interesting ways to take places like with the Scientology and being like, this is actually what it is. And I didn't know much until I saw their takedown on it. Mm-hmm. But it did always kind of feel like it was still just mostly like a crazy, offensive, hilarious, we'll tackle anybody, you know, kind of comedy. And I feel like here there's a lot of like in the second season, there's this whole thing with like the shame monster and how he's like making everybody feel really bad about the things they're doing when it's actually like a totally normal thing to be like a dumb, horny kid. And it's like sneak attacking this like really supportive, you know, like it's cool to be you. Like, don't worry about it. You're a kid.
That's so,
you know,
great.
And it's like at the same time, just being like so overly disgusting and hilarious.
Oh, I can't
yeah,
wait.
It's the stuff that I laughed out loud at, I laughed so hard at. And I just like overall came away from it like, what a great like balancing act that they've done. Like the episode on Planned Parenthood is like really good, and there's a whole bunch of other episodes. Sometimes there's episodes where I'm like, not as good, but overall I'm a fan.
Sweet.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be watching that.
So many voice actors in it too. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in that. So yeah, Big Mouth 2, thumbs up for me.
Nice.
What about you guys? What have you watched?
Well, I think we can both probably talk about the same thing, but plowed through Better Call Saul.
Are you caught up?
Yeah, all caught up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
really? So good.
On now.
Yeah.
Come on.
God, what can you say other than just, you know, it the writing is out of this world again.
Yep.
This season.
Yep.
These characters now that we didn't think.
Yeah, it's hard to.
I'm thinking of Dan because
I know because he's never even seen Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and you've got this character that was a tertiary character that I care about so much now.
Yeah,
and then there are these web of characters that flow out from him, like Kim Wexler.
Oh my god,
that actress is
she is
dynamite,
amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
And
Rhea Seehorn, unreal.
That's her. Yeah.
And
Mike Ehrmantraut, my good God.
Good Lord.
What he goes through in season four,
yeah,
his arc in season four,
yeah,
is nothing short of devastating.
Yeah.
One of the
greatest television characters ever created.
I think. Yeah.
He's
must
just
be, right?
Fucking fascinating.
Can we say one thing? That bubblegum trick that he does is so cool.
So good.
What's the bubblegum trick?
No, I can't tell you, buddy.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not. No, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
And
I'm just—is
that because he hasn't watched Breaking Bad? You can't tell him?
Like, no, because it's no spoilers.
All right, okay. No,
yeah,
spoilers.
And because it's cool. Like
fair
seeing
enough.
It is
yeah,
like wicked. Because you're like, what's he doing? What is he doing? And that guy that he was doing it to, I quite like that actor, Lalo. Oh man, that.
Would he come in like three episodes in, and all of a sudden he's just like stealing the show?
Yeah, and he's just enormous because it's so he does a thing that is so hard to pull off, that friendly menace.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a tricky thing. People do it so horribly in a lot of movies.
Yeah,
where it's like really engaging and friendly, but like I might kill you like right now.
Yeah,
but I'll smile.
Yeah, he's got I kill you eyes. For
Oh man, that guy is fucking awesome.
Yeah, where did he come from?
I don't know, but it's just like it continues because Breaking Bad was so good at this too. Like every performance, every character that showed up was fucking dynamite and so well thought out, so well written and directed that like if you're a halfway amazing actor, which is all they got were amazing actors for that show. It shines so much, and everyone's so distinct. And Better Call Saul, the same thing. Like all, and we're getting these characters that we already liked a lot, but seeing so much more of them, and not like a, you know, dumb origin story way. Like it's totally different.
Yes.
Like I don't know how they're pulling this off.
No,
it's so
I don't
stupid.
Know.
And it's again, I'm like, I'm watching this, going like, is this better than Breaking Bad? Are you fucking kidding me? Is it?
Definitely season three, I had that feeling a lot. Season four, I didn't have that feeling quite as much. I didn't quite have the same tension builds that Breaking Bad was really great at.
But then
but there are a couple
the
parts.
Final episode, though, where it's just like, an emotional roller coaster.
Absolutely.
And just a fucking
there are so many things that are just so well done. And it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a beautiful show.
They don't fuck around with anything. I listened to the podcast, and they really don't leave a stone unturned. They love what they do.
Yeah.
And remind me to show you afterwards. There's a picture of the board from the last episode.
Oh.
What it looks like, the cue card board. And it's like, it's so far out. just how detailed these motherfuckers are. Yeah. They just, nothing is left
to
chance.
Is it a podcast like by the people behind the scenes kind of thing?
Yeah, so it's Vince Gilligan and the two creators, Gilligan and... Oh, and I learned one thing that's really cool, and I think your audience might think this is cool. Did you know that if you are the writer on a show, so you're staff of 10, and you happen to write a show... write an episode that introduces a character, you are an executive producer on every show that that character ever shows up on again.
Really?
So that's part of the reason why I can't think of his name. Peter Gould is he's creator of Better Call Saul because he gets to do that. But anytime they introduce a character that comes back, they get
interesting
points on that or whatever,
cool.
however that works. Yeah,
nice.
Very neat.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a show. What a treat.
Really good.
How fortunate.
I just don't know.
I feel so fortunate watching it. Like, what a wonderful
why
thing.
Why 10 episodes? So why not 52?
Oh, but that's it's because it's perfect. And Breaking Bad was good like that, too. Like, not too much. Oh,
I don't want to wait a year for this,
though. Nailed, like, every episode is, like, nailed. Like, there wasn't an episode of Breaking Bad where I was like, that wasn't good.
No, you're right.
It was, like, always of a quality. And it's the same thing. Because they don't, they don't try and be like, let's make it 27 episodes.
Yeah.
Stretch this thing out and thin the story. Like, it's just.
I don't remember the end of season.
Nothing but hits, man. Nothing but hits.
The end of season two. But I do remember the end of season three. And it doesn't qualify for what I'm about to say. So you might remember season two. But the end of season one and the end of season four, if you wanted to, you could stop at the end of season. You'd be stupid.
Sure.
But you could stop at the end of season one, and it does exactly what it needs to do to set you up for Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I really felt that way at the end of season four as well. Like, there are a couple dangling threads, but, really great job of just, so here you go. This is in case we don't get picked up or whatever. The world ends and we're all left
It's satisfying and you see an arc happening.
Yes.
But it's not about that because it's not like, you know, how do we get from here to Breaking Bad?
That's right.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So good. Fuck me, so good.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Nice.
Yeah.
What else have you been watching, Dan?
Yeah, Dan.
Well, I've been watching a lot of horror movies.
Yes.
My goal this year is instead of just October, I'm just doing in the fall. I've started as of September to just watch as many horror movies as I can. So I want a movie. I want at the end to have watched as many movies as there are days in both of those months, plus one for fun.
Right.
So that's 62.
Holy shit.
Because
I'm an
idiot.
Fuck around.
And so far, I've watched almost 50.
Wow. You're,
blowing through.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch them every day. It'll be like, I'll watch one night, and then, you know, a couple nights later, I'll watch like two, and then on the weekend, I'll do two or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trying to think which ones to bring up. I know that Casey revisited Invaders from Mars from 86 by Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
And wasn't super big on it. And I revisited it. And yeah, it's fine. It's fun.
It's okay.
Got amazing effects.
It's got some stuff that is great in it, but also some not great.
Yeah, and I did a Dan O'Bannon night. So we did Return of the Living Dead as well, because Emma had never seen it.
Oh, wow.
And the funny thing about watching that movie, it had been probably about 5 or 6 or 7 years since I saw it last, is when you watch a lot of garbage like I do, and then you like revisit something like Return of the Living Dead, you're just like, God damn, this is the best. an amazing movie.
One of the best movies ever.
Is that the one that came out in the mid-80s?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Everything about it works.
Yeah.
Every single thing works.
Such a good pace.
Yeah.
Such a good escalation of the way that the events unfold.
Oh, my God.
The humor
chemistry
is hilarious.
Chemistry with cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a good cast. So funny. And also, like, freaky and weird and, really effective. Yeah, I love that movie. I just cannot say enough good about that movie.
Plus,
and
the cover of the VHS was like,
oh, it's
skeletons with mohawks.
Dynamite.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You can't beat it. And it's got this fun score, and it's
totally
really funny, genuinely creepy a lot of the time. I mean, I remember it scaring the shit out of me when I was little, but also like laughing my ass off too.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great comedy and a great horror movie.
Across the road from my house,
not one thing at the expense of the other.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was talking about it.
No.
Yeah, it's so good. If you've never seen Return of the Living Dead, you have to see it. It's so good.
The greatest.
It's wonderful.
And James Caan, it's a remarkable performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Remarkable.
I love everybody in that movie.
Everyone's great. Clute Gulager, amazing. Tom Matthews is awesome.
Yeah.
I just watched him and Athena and I watched a bunch of Friday the 13th.
Nice.
Just because it was easily accessible. Yeah. And like, there we go. And so we kind of did the Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah.
Obviously Tom Matthews was the...
New Blood. Revisit it.
We did.
Yeah?
I got about halfway through and I passed out.
Oh, that's great.
Too tired.
I love that movie.
I have more time for it now.
I don't know. I thought, yeah. It's so much fun for me. I don't know why.
That's the one with the telekinetic girl versus Jason. It's so much better than
its reputation.
Than the one before it. Two
Manhattan?
Before it. No, sorry. Part
five. A New Beginning?
Yeah.
Where it's
not
him.
Well, that one's just so strange.
Yeah, where it's not him, where it's Tommy Jarvis in like a mental institution and some guy pretending to be Jason. It's obviously they were like, because at the end of Final Chapter, you're supposed to think, well, maybe now Tommy Jarvis is going to be the new, it's going to be Tommy instead of Jason.
Right.
Yeah.
And they still hadn't decided by the time they needed to make the next movie. So they're like, I don't know. Nobody.
The paramedic man.
It sucks so bad.
It really does.
And then we're like, oh, fuck it. Jason's a zombie. Bring him back as a lightning rod. And so then versus telekinetic girl, not bad. Not bad. I'm only halfway through. I'll finish it up. But
yeah, it's fun. I've
been too hard on it in the past.
In particular.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of being too hard on something in the past, I revisited a movie that I saw in high school and didn't think basically anything of it. I just saw it and was like, that's a dumb movie, and moved on. But I revisited The Rage, Carrie 2.
Oh.
And I'm leaning in fucking hard on this movie. It is great. It is so good. Mm. And I don't know why it gets so shat on. It's super 90s. There is a couple scenes of questionable acting and writing. But overall... As far as the sequel goes, and go with me here for a second. In today's climate, I watched The Rage, Carrie 2, and this is a jump, but right around the time of like the Kavanaugh stuff going down in America.
Yeah.
And The Rage, Carrie 2 is so surprisingly a portrait of that kind of douchebag. It is so much about like white assholes in like high school and college who are like fucking being idiots and like they're banging these chicks and like then dumping them so they can have a game to see who scores the most points, and then the only thing they're worried about when things go sour in this movie is like, am I gonna be able to get a job if this comes out, or like how's this gonna affect my job and like going to college and shit. And I was just like so struck by how this movie is using that kind of thing to like frame this like sequel to Carry On that I was like really affected at the end of the movie when it comes time for her to be like just do exactly what happened in the first movie. The worst thing about this movie is that it's one of those sequels like it happened again to somebody. But but I really felt like at the like I felt like angry at the end of the movie when things kind of turned on her and I think this movie's way underrated. I really liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I know that I've never seen it.
Yeah. I will check it out.
There's a few scenes, like, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But I really...
I don't need my horror movies to be perfect.
I really came away from it being like, this deserves at least a second look from people because it was a movie that I watched and was like, oh, yeah, whatever, some movie and throw it in the bin of my memory or whatever. But I think it's really good. It's directed by, what's her name? Kat Shee. And she did, like, a lot of low-budget stuff. She did a movie called Strip to Kill. So she kind of comes from, like, the low-budget genre.
Right.
But she's doing, like, a really, like, 90s thing with the direction, which I could see putting some people off. But I don't know. I really came away from it being like, this... They were trying to, like, get into the idea of these, like, toxic, disgusting guys in, like, 1999 when, like, it was obviously happening, but we weren't talking about it as much as right now. So it was, I was really struck by it in that way. So and it's also super entertaining, I thought. So
other than that, like, time and place piece, is it like the same story though?
It's like, I mean, it's very
that's
like,
that's not a bad thing.
Oh, somebody related to the people in the first movie is now in the same position where like they go to high school and nobody likes her and they're going to prank her and da da da. So it is very like it is one of those movies where it's like the original movie, but now with a new person.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a cool then. Like, I mean, to go back to Pet Sematary or whatever. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of cool to take a movie that's a good movie and bring it up to speed.
I think it works as well as it can here. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's deserving of a second look. Carrie 2.
I am. I'm curious enough to check it out.
Yeah.
You know
what else of you guys have you been watching?
Oh, I don't know, some stuff.
Nice.
I've been watching the Friday the 13th, and it was just Canadian Thanksgiving, so of course I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and had the best time.
Tried to fight back some tears.
As I do every time I watch every that time movie. Yeah, I like me. My wife likes me. I had a rewatch, something I have not seen since it was in theaters, which I greatly enjoyed, but now it's been like almost 10 years, which I was like, that's crazy. And so I had to rewatch of Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, I've been thinking about rewatching that.
Yeah.
Because it's on Netflix. It's always there.
Yeah. I'm like, that movie's fine. I'm like, is it still fine? Maybe it was just like, did I just have fun in the theater? I got to know. I'm a big Sam Raimi fan. Yeah. And it's like the only Sam Raimi.
I remember
Raimi...
it being a blast.
Yeah. I've even seen For Love of the Game more than once. So, you know, I should probably check it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Athena and I did a little rewatcheroo on the old Drag Me to Hell. Nice. And let me tell you, still fucking great.
Nice.
Alison Lohman just carries that thing like a fucking champ. She's so good. And it's just got this pace that's so great.
Yeah.
Such a ride all the time. Something's always happening. And it's super funny, but all the scares really work. And I always have a big appreciation of horror movies that are like, let's do something in broad daylight.
Yeah.
So good. She has an episode after she's been cursed where it's like middle of the day. The original Halloween's good for that too.
Yeah.
Jason just standing there in the backyard just like a fucking psycho during the daytime. You fucking kidding me? You're never safe. so, you know, it's just got this great pace. The all the stuff with her work, trying to get the promotion, and the guy who's vying for it as well. I can't think of his name on top of my head. Man, he's so funny. He's in a ton of shit, but hold on, where are you? I'm gonna get your name, buddy, because it's worthwhile saying it out loud. I'm stalling for time. Reggie Lee plays Stu, who's also going for the assistant manager job.
Yeah.
Right. David Paymer's their boss, and he's just like sucking up from like, the worst kind of ways. And, like, he's so good. It's amazing. It's great comic relief. It's fucking awesome. Top to bottom, great performances. It looks awesome. The ending is fucking amazing. It's so great.
The ending is so good.
Yeah, and Justin Long is terrific in it, too.
Yeah.
He seems to have faded away, which is weird. I like Justin Long.
But yeah, totally worth your time. Rewatch it. It's Halloween. This is a great, like, super fun one. It fucking cooks along. It is fast as shit. It's like an hour and a half. Like,
yeah,
get into it.
Totally. I love coming here and just getting a list of things to watch. Like, yeah. I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and it's just like, fuck, man. You guys watch so many goddamn movies. Yeah. So great.
Really quick, speaking of things to watch, yeah. I checked in on a movie that I feel like got some good reviews and some good buzz, but that I think is worthwhile. It might be worth putting on a list. It's called Hearts Beat Loud, and it stars Nick Offerman. It also has Toni Collette and Ted Danson.
I wanted to see that so badly.
And it's about this guy who owns a record store, and it's like closing up because, you know, nobody buys records anymore. And so he is going to try and start to like do some music with his daughter because she's going away to college, and he's like an ex-musician. And it's just this like movie about this guy who's trying to like, you know, have this connection with his daughter, and he's like sad that his store is closing, and his friend Ted Danson is a bartender, and I was like, I'm here for this. I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's just a sweet little movie, and it's funny and it's sad, and I thought that it came by all of its sort of like musical references and stuff fairly honestly, and it doesn't lean too hard into that. Like, there's definitely some stuff, like there's a scene where Nick Offerman's just like playing his guitar and like joking around. He starts singing Ocean Man by Ween, and I was like, hey, I love that song.
Oh wow. Yeah. Ocean Man.
Yeah, and so there's enough of that. There Ocean is some Man. Like, this record, you're gonna love this, by Animal Collective and stuff, and there's a little bit of that kind of like somebody wanted to let everyone know they knew what to know. But it didn't bother me. I thought it was a really sweet movie. It's worth checking out.
Oh, I'll yeah.
Nice.
It's a good like weeknight watch. Hearts Beat Loud.
Cool.
Yeah. And Nick Offerman's really good in it. Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of BoJack Horseman,
I need to get into that show so bad.
There's nothing better on television. So one of my pet projects is I'm mentally ill, and I have a pet project around that. And I don't know that there's a better show or piece of music or any art that expresses what mental illness is better than BoJack Horseman. Mm. Like, it's fucking wild.
The new season is that's a show that Emma started watching without me, and I kind of came in around season two, and just sort of the last season or two I've seen most, like almost every episode of, but the first two I'm kind of spotty with. But I thought the last season I just couldn't, whenever she had it on, I couldn't like tear myself away from it.
This is the fifth season.
Yeah,
now?
I think it's the fourth or fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. I blank out a little bit, but the fourth season was magnificent.
Yeah.
Like seriously, seriously high art.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And the voice work is great. It's funny. It's poignant. And it expresses that world of pain and suffering in a way that I've never seen anybody do it that well, especially anthropomorphic horse.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. Definitely.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get started on it for ages.
Yeah.
Do it up.
Yeah, but I'm craving something of thoughtful animation now that I have no more... Final Space to watch.
Yeah. So, I keep thinking it's called Future Space.
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't know that one. Final Space? Oh, boy, I love it.
It's good. I've still only watched like a handful of episodes, but I liked what I saw.
And I feel like you got to give it some time. Yeah. It's like, first episode, I was like, meh, but it was only 20 minutes, so I guess I'll watch the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember you talking about this on the show. Yeah, of course, yes.
Like around the third episode, I'm like, I like this.
Yeah.
And then like the sixth episode, I'm like, fuck, I really like this.
Yeah.
And then it was over and I was sad. Like, it was so good. It was so good. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my pitch again on that show.
All right. I'll trade
you. I need to talk to somebody, man. My buddy nice. Mark Riley watched it, though. He loved it, too. He knows.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'll watch BoJack. I need to.
Totally. It's good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Can I tell you guys a story?
Yes.
Great. So,
okay. Yeah, I want to hear
this. I just moved.
Yes.
Which was nuts, and we're in the midst of, I'm almost done, but there's unpacking to do, as we can see.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Halloween, it's October, and I thought I'd tell you the story of the terrible bear. So the place I moved out of, it was an unexpected move, but that's okay. Everything worked out. My new place is better. And I was only in that place, the old place, for a year and a half. When I moved in, I was arranging stuff and putting things away, and I noticed in the master bedroom closet, it follows it's a long closet in a sense, but the ceiling slopes down.
Yeah.
It follows the line of the roof. Oh,
okay.
Right? So the closet like thins out to a fine point.
Yeah.
And so I was, and it's also weirdly wallpapered inside. There's no wallpaper in the house, except all of the closets have different type of wallpaper.
God.
Every single
Interesting.
One. Yeah. So, in this wallpapered closet that narrows down to a fine point, I noticed something like shoved into the fine point that I need a flashlight to see. And it's a very worn, very battered looking teddy bear shoved into the crevices of this wall.
Not creepy at all.
Extremely creepy. And I looked at it and I'm like, well, that's fucking horrible. And I would really have to climb in there to get it too. But then I thought,
it'd never come out.
I don't think I should move this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of horror movies.
This could be holding in the spirits.
100%. Like, if it's a horror movie, and
that's
I take it out
is.
And get rid of it, 6 months later, I'm standing in a dump looking for it. Wait, where's the bear?
Yeah,
my life is cursed.
Yeah.
I need the bear. It wants the bear back. So I left the bear, and I never mentioned it to my wife.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, and then I forgot about the bear. And then... there were definitely odd things about the house here and there and stuff. Mostly, like, kind of drawn to my attention from my daughter. My wife was out of town, and so I was putting she's two and change. We've probably heard her on the show before.
Yeah,
so I'm putting
yeah.
Zoe to bed, and I'm in her little toddler bed with her, and just going to sleep. Lights are out, and then she starts telling me, you know. Is the ghost coming, Daddy?
Oh God!
Is the monster coming? I'm like, what monster? She's like, the white monster.
Oh God!
I'm like, what? And my arm hair is whoosh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the white monster? She's like, it's over there. And I'm like, where is it? She's like, points towards kind of the corner of her room or towards her closet a bit. She's like, there.
Oh my God!
It's over there. You're not going to let the white monster take me, are you, Daddy?
Jesus.
And I know. And I'm like, no, definitely not.
Yeah.
And then she's like, it's coming.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I'm right here. And then I was like, okay. And then she's asleep. And I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
There were some glowing things in the room. Like, maybe she's looking at the glowing things.
Yeah.
But we'll leave it at that. So when we find out that we're going to have to move, we also find out that that someone did die in our bedroom.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Holy shit.
Right? Okay. So.
Yeah.
So that's,
how does that,
you know,
come up?
Huh?
How does that come up?
It just came up in conversation with, you know, why we were moving out, blah, 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 and also, yeah. Anyway. And someone, and I'd heard a couple of the neighbors mentioning it, but I kind of wasn't sure if they meant our place or if they knew what they were talking about.
Oh,
anyway, definitely dead. Someone died there. So we're getting ready to move out, and I was like getting stuff out in his pack, and I looked in the closet, and there was a bear there, and I was like, all right, you. Well, bye.
Yeah.
You're staying here. And then I told my wife about the bear. And she was like, what? Anyway, it was best that I left it alone. So, moved out. I hired movers, which I highly recommend.
Yeah.
And moved everything out, except for some cleaning had to be done and a couple of things that, you know, whatever, I left behind in the basement. So we move out last Thursday, and as I leave the place, I open all of the windows so it can air out for the next tenant, you know, nice neutral smell, you know, and just whatever, help with the cleaning, the nice fresh. Anyway, so I, and these now open windows through the entire house for days. I go back there on a Tuesday to clean out the rest of the stuff in the basement. I walk inside. I'm not inside more than 4 minutes. And I hear our master bedroom door up on the side. I'm in the basement. I can hear it slams so aggressively. I can hear it in the basement. Two floors up, our door wail shut.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now,
wait, this is
the room with the bear.
The room, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Now, these windows have been open for 5 days. Like, the draft would close the door, right? Yeah. But no, and it had rained, all kinds of stuff. This could have blown this door down, closed
at any,
it, at any time. Also, not a windy day last Tuesday, even a little bit. But it shook the hinges,
fucking
door. Yeah. And it was just I was like, what the fuck? I thought someone was in the house. Like, I thought, is the owner here? And I'll go tell him I'm cleaning. And I got upstairs. I'm like, fuck me, did that come from the second floor? And I went up the stairs and looked, and there's the master bedroom slammed shut, which I had heard it do on occasion with the windows open.
Yeah.
But whammy. And then here at the new place, second day here, first day here, playing with my daughter on the second floor, and she's inside her tent, her little kid tent, and she comes out of it, and she's like, there's no ghosts here, Daddy. And I was like, oh, yeah? And she's like, nope. And I was like, was there a ghost at the old house? And she goes, yeah. And then separately, 2 days later, she tells my wife, she tells Athena, there's no ghosts here, Mommy.
Jesus Christ.
So happy Halloween.
Oh my God.
Look in your closet. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if the moral of the story is leave the bear or remove the bear. Yeah. I think it would have been worse if I'd moved the bear.
I think so.
I would appreciate listener feedback.
Unless it was slamming the door because it was like, all I wanted you to do was
get
the bear.
This fucking bear out of here.
All the horror movies that you've seen, and you went upstairs to check on the fucking door as well.
It was the middle of the day.
I don't care.
Yeah, just like I said, though, the audacity of the day haunts.
You're not safe.
You're not safe. You'll never be safe.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
From the horrible bear.
Unbelievable.
That was a great story.
It's wild, right?
I don't know. I've never had anything that involved. The worst thing that I ever had was my brother was out at like a drive-in, and when I first moved to the house that we used to live at, and I was falling asleep, and a door slammed shut. I think my door slammed shut, or I heard knocking on the door, and I thought he used to come home and like slam on the door, like "Wake up, you idiot!" like if he was drunk or something. Yeah, and I was "Oh shit, Jake must be home." And I got up, and like nobody was home, so I called him, and I was like, oh, "I just woke up hearing you knock on the door. Get the fuck home!" And he like, I like made him leave the drive-in. I was like, "I'm not sitting here alone, man. Save me!"
Yeah,
that's fucking scary.
Yeah,
that is holy shit.
My Halloween story for you.
I feel like, in general, from what I've gathered from people who have kids, that they seem to be more in tune with that kind of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
They always say, right?
Who's the man in the corner or some shit? You're like, what?
100%.
Yeah.
You need to get her to draw a picture of the ghost.
Yeah, that's
and if
a
it's
great
a fucking
idea.
Bear-shaped, you run!
No, because then you're going to get into a scenario where she's like starts drawing everywhere and starts scribbling angrily in the movies.
Right, that's not good.
Can't stop drawing the monster!
It's going to draw it here.
Yeah.
I didn't move that far away. Not far enough, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I can travel.
Sure. It's like a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
15.
Damn.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, that's some funny shit, though.
Unbelievable.
It was something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kids.
Yeah.
And bears. They had bear things shoved in the corner. The wallpaper is so...
It's bizarre.
Is that like a thing people used to do? Like, wallpaper my...
the inside of the closets? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I sort of liked it. I thought it was kind of kitschy.
Yeah.
And sort of, I don't
until...
know. Until there's a
monster.
Well, now you want to know what's underneath that goddamn wallpaper.
The white monster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not walking home tonight.
He's going to stay here?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to take the bus. I'll wait for the number 8.
Just ask my kid if there's a ghost and you'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right.
So that's my story.
Should we get to Film Roulette then?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. The last time we rolled, I believe it was for...
I think Casey was the loser.
The Predator, and Casey was a loser.
Right.
And so Casey's not here to regale us with his losing film, but...
I tell you what, though. I should have prepped you.
Yeah?
So I didn't get a chance to see The Predator because I was moving.
Me either.
Fighting ghosts. Great. Okay. Because I then, with Jamie coming in, I suggested he watch something that I had just watched.
Okay.
And I knew you had watched.
Okay.
And so we can all talk about Mandy.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yes. Because, listen, The Predator, it's a few weeks old. We all know that it's just like, okay.
Yeah. No okay, I'll catch up with it.
I'll catch up with it. Apparently not great. Good enough.
Totally.
Or something. But
had a lot of promise.
Sure did. But also, too many Predator movies at this point.
Yeah,
you can't
probably.
Make The Predator scary anymore.
Yeah.
It's too, we're too familiar with it. Too familiar.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Sweet. Well, then we'll talk about Mandy.
Yeah.
And then I have a small movie that, because I didn't see Predator, I was like, well, I'll go to the theater and I'll see something that maybe is more of a gamble.
Right.
In the idea that maybe it could be kind of like a punishment for not seeing The Predator.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that after we talk about Mandy very briefly.
Okay. So, so Mandy is the new film from Panos Cosmatos.
Yes.
His second film, first one was Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Which is
was
a wild
crazy.
Movie.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Movie's nuts.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Jamie?
No, I did not, but I remember you guys talking about it.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Visually outstanding.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
It's
I
a
liked
really
how
weird one.
Challenging it was.
Yeah.
I loved how it looked. I loved the soundtrack. It was such a unique experience. Like, fucking right on. I don't really know what I watched,
yeah.
but I know I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I like a good, like, no one's, it's not like someone else's movie, so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that was in
2010. 10? Get the fuck out.
So this is 8 years later that he's back with Mandy, starring Nicolas Cage, among others. So kind of back 8 years later, a bigger star, maybe a bit bigger of a release because this went more wide to theaters and stuff.
A more straight, well, not, I don't know, but
did you guys talk about Black Rainbow on the show then?
Yeah,
we must
we did.
Have years
okay,
ago.
You must have. Yeah,
like, I think... A couple times here and there, like Greg saw it, and then I saw it,
okay,
and then we kind
okay.
of back and forth
like,
with it a bit.
Crazy.
Yeah. So this movie is about Red and Mandy, who lead a living and peace, a loving and peaceful existence. But when their pine-scented haven is savagely destroyed, Red is catapulted into a phantasmagoric journey filled with bloody vengeance and laced with fire. And there's some interesting actors in here. It was it was also produced by Elijah Wood and I believe their Spectre Vision label or something. Yeah, so definitely was the talk of film Twitter and like, you know, cult cinema fans. Everybody had a take on it when it came out, so I'm glad that we're getting to it.
Yeah.
I'm interested, Jamie, in somebody who's just diving into this one.
Yeah.
What your initial...
Had you seen a trailer or anything?
Nothing, no.
You just started the movie?
No, I definitely didn't want to watch the trailer before I started to watch it. I just wanted to watch it. And, and so, little background, like, growing up, I watched horror movies all the time.
Yep.
I'm nowhere near versed, you know, as versed as you guys are, like, by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen everything that you should see, you know, like
the big
on
ones
on the AFI top 100 gory movie or horror movies.
Yes.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I put it on and it's very like, I mean, you guys describing Black Rainbow, it's that's how I would describe it. If you guys hadn't already said that about Black Rainbow, it's definitely not a movie I've seen before.
Yeah.
You know, especially for this genre.
It's funny, too, because this is definitely more straightforward.
Oh, so much more
like
straightforward
more.
Than Black Rainbow.
Yeah. I just mean, I mean, like, visually, though. Like all
Oh, he's got a look, for sure, and it's
all
great.
The filters and, and colors.
Yeah.
So, I'll play my hand first here.
Okay.
The movie ended. I watched it with Athena, and she was like, did you like it? As much or more than Black Rainbow, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to think for a minute.
Yeah.
And so I thought, and then I still went right to bed, and I thought about it a lot the next day and the last couple of days, and I quite liked this movie.
I liked it a lot.
It has its own look. It's definitely playing into 80s stuff, but mm-hmm. it has such loving, or it's really picked its homage stuff pretty carefully, and it's definitely from someone studied.
Yeah.
And I like that it's the slow burn at first. Like, this is not to spoil anything, because you can find it out from the trailers pretty much, but when you take a step back of how nuts this movie is, where it's got, future Christian cult members,
yeah.
some kind of fucked up, I don't know what, biker gang.
Zombie, and monster, and biker gang.
And by the end of the movie, more than half of the cast is on acid.
Yeah.
And there's a chainsaw fight.
Yeah.
So much fire.
Yeah.
And
there's a tiger?
Yeah, there's a tiger, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I came away from it like I really enjoyed watching it. I really enjoyed looking at it, and I had a really good time just taking it all in. I do think that in the step towards being a bit more of like a like accessible movie, it kind of takes a little bit of a step towards like, well, it is just another movie about a guy who's got a like his like wife is murdered,
yes.
blah, 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 revenge movie.
Yeah,
but that's fine. Like it sucks that that's the story for all these things, and I get that criticism of the movie and don't
100%,
deny it.
Yeah,
but I also am like, but also it looked really great, and I just loved soaking
and
it
insane,
in,
and it did things that I've not seen before. And,
yeah,
and
you sort of glossed over. I mean the. Fucking the biker gang. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I know you said it's weird, but it's exceptionally
super
fucking weird.
Fucking weird. Yeah. Like, I imagine when I'll watch it again, because I definitely will,
yeah.
and perhaps I'll be able to delve more deeply into the metaphors and what we're looking at here as far as love and loss and maybe in the contrast of differing ideas.
Yeah.
But on its face, where you don't delve into it, it's this fucking bananas movie with like Hellraiser fucking biker
gangs
on a fucking four-wheeler.
Yeah.
And everyone's on acid.
Yeah.
Like really strong,
awesome.
Strong
Two
acid.
Two guys are on acid and have a fucking chainsaw fight. Fight.
I like a movie that, you know, is very often presenting me with the reaction of like, okay, this now. And this movie does that, which kept me entertained. Like, okay, now it's the cult, and he's got an album, I guess, and I'll hear the song.
That was so good.
Yeah,
that
like,
was
and then wicked. Now it's the bikers, okay,
yeah,
and
oh,
I guess
hey,
they're going to have acid now.
Now here's Bill Duke.
Yeah.
And you're like, fucking A, Bill Duke, let's make a sword.
Yeah.
how great was it, though, when he's just like, I'm here to pick up the Reaper? And, you know, he takes the Reaper, and he's like, I got something else you might want. And it's like fucking arrows.
Yeah.
It's like, you want fucking arrows.
Yeah, they go with this.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal.
Definitely a movie where I was like, when I saw everybody coming out and saying like whether they loved it or hated it or whatever, I was like,
it was really divisive.
It was very divisive. Yeah, there was like, it was one of those movies where everybody was on it, and then it came out on a more wide release, and then there was all the like takes in the opposite direction of like, this is fucking film bro wankery bullshit.
Oh, and people were like artsy fartsy nonsense.
Yeah, or like it's just dudes like whacking it to their Carpenter scores and stuff. And it's like, fine, but I also was just like, I just enjoyed it. And the Cheddar Goblin.
Enjoy a crazy
and
movie.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cheddar Goblin.
Let's talk about the Cheddar Goblin. Vomiting mac and cheese all over the children.
And they love it.
That's
splendid. Love it.
For a very, very brief millisecond, when the commercial started, I was like, is this a real commercial?
Yeah,
oh,
it's done
it's
well.
Not.
Yeah, at first, it's pretty
really
solid.
Good.
And they're watching Man Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of great homage to like trash, you know, or not trash, but just your video shelf filler movies, you know, and that's what a lot of this is. Like, you got a great little, there's in the chainsaw fight, you get a great nod to both Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and Phantasm 2.
Yeah.
You've got they're watching Man Beast, which is there. You've got a couple of obvious like Evil Dead nods going on. You've got Hellraiser going on. You've got Texas Chainsaw Massacre going on.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of fun,
totally.
But none of it is like, and now we're doing this. It's just like a nice mishmash of cultivated 80s knowledge.
Yeah. Of the movies that do the 80s thing, I would much rather it be this kind of, like, mm-hmm. you know, totally out there mishmash than, like, the really sort of simple and straightforward ones that are just, like, and then we put a synth score on top. Or, like, and then it's just, like, the kids are on bikes, so it'll make you think of Amblin. Or, it, like, where it's just a sort of, like, oh, like, there's a movie called, like, Summer of 84 out right now that I've been meaning to watch, but it does kind of seem like it'll be that.
Or, like, Turbo Kid.
Or, yeah.
Which, it was a chore.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah. And it's like, this doesn't feel right either.
Yeah.
Because the references are off.
And yeah.
I don't know.
This, at least, is more along the lines of, like, I don't know. I don't want to say Tarantino, but, like, the idea of, like, I'm going to take some very, like, blatantly obvious things from other things, but it's okay because, usually because, like, they're being put together in a way that is at least interesting to me anyway.
Yeah.
So when I watched this movie, I was like, it's wild and out there and fun. And I was just excited, like, to watch it, how it looked and see what was going to happen next.
What about Nick Cage?
Yeah.
He's great in it.
He's pretty great, right?
I thought he was great in
drinking the toilet vodka there.
Oh, fuck.
Just
that scene was awesome.
Just having a great Nick Cage moment.
Yeah. But it was like crazy Nick Cage, but like with focus.
Yeah.
Because I thought that scene was actually really good.
Yeah.
Like it's nuts, but it's like he's not wearing pants and the vodka and the screaming and stuff. But
it felt like Nick, it was just like nobody else could do that.
What else do you do when you've experienced what just fucking happened to him? You know?
Fair enough.
So yeah. Totally. He drinks a bottle of vodka and does a bunch of acid and goes on a crazy revenge fucking... What the fuck, man? Like, you know, you don't get movies like this too much.
And a heap of cocaine as well.
And a heap crazy amount of cocaine. Like, like, so fucked. Like, there's so much... You don't get movies like this.
Yeah.
Please enjoy your life and go and like watch these movies.
Yeah.
It's more fun to get into these things.
I would also say that Andrea Riseborough as Mandy is like I almost thought like maybe even a better performance. Like Nick Cage is amazing
she's
great in this movie.
Her eye, like was that visual effect on her eyes like when she's walking by the van and something like they made her look like a oh God, like a Coraline doll almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with the button.
There's
eyes,
a lot of little weird trickery, like the whole thing is kind of an acid trip that's sort of playing with you the whole time.
And she was almost the kind of performance where like she disappeared into the role. It wasn't until like after the movie that I looked her up and I was like, oh, I've seen her in like lots of other movies.
Yeah, Athena and I could put it together. I'm like, oh fuck, she was in Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah, and Nocturnal Animals, Never Let Me Go, Oblivion, tons of big
She's great,
movies.
Great, really good actress.
Yeah.
Really good.
So what kind of budget did they have to work with on a film like this? Like, this is like
Well, Batman's dad was the cult leader.
Oh, yeah.
With Thomas Wayne from the Chris Nolan trilogy.
Oh, wow, okay.
The cult leader.
Ned Dennehy? No, Linus Roche?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and also the guy with the tiger?
Yeah.
He played Joe Cool, the killer of Batman's parents in the Chris Nolan trilogy.
Well, holy shit.
Yeah.
I feel like the budget of this must have been like it must have been a million, I don't know.
Yeah, a million or two. Like a lot. Because you don't need a lot to do this.
Yeah, it looked, but it looked.
It looked great.
You got
a really good cinematographer.
It looked
great. There's a look you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go get it, man. It's pretty good. I thought, fine. I won't see a movie this unique the rest of October as I watch all kinds of crazy junk.
Yeah.
It's, because it didn't feel like some derivative slop like Turbo Kid.
Yeah.
And other shit like this.
There's some fucked up dialogue in it, like the knock knock joke that I talked off the top.
Yeah,
but like their relationship is sort of fucked from a dialogue perspective.
Yeah,
when they're talking, hey, I read that book about the galaxy today.
Yeah,
the thick one.
Whoa, super weird. Yeah,
super weird stuff.
Yeah,
but once it got into the movie, like once the cult was introduced and you got into the movie, I was in.
Totally enjoyed it. And we'll definitely watch this again.
Yeah. Totally.
And then think more about it.
Yeah.
This is craziness.
Well, then my counterpoint to that is on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
I thought because it's the season and fits well with this because it's all kind of horror stuff. I went to the theater and saw a brand new slasher movie called Hellfest.
Oh, which, I don't even know what the fuck this is.
It's directed by Gregory Plotkin, and it is a movie about a bunch of college-aged people who decide they're going to go to the, you know, like extreme haunted house sort of like fun park, you know, like going to Canada's Wonderland, doing the haunted houses and stuff. They're going to go to the one in their town or whatever that's like the place to go called Hellfest. And, you know, somebody is there killing people. And it stars a bunch of people that I didn't really know too much about. I think they seemed like kind of TV actors or actors from other sort of smaller movies. This is definitely a bit more of an independent, smaller movie, lower budget, the kind of thing that like maybe Blumhouse would put out, but it wasn't put out by them.
Yeah.
And didn't get very good reviews, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I'm going to go to this. Why not? Just because there wasn't really anything else horror related out until Halloween. So I went and watched this movie, my brother and my girlfriend and I. And it starts and I'm like, okay, this like dialogue isn't great. And the characters are pretty annoying. It's a slasher. But then when the movie ended, we were all kind of like, that wasn't awful. That was actually kind of fun. And I ended up liking Hellfest for a very specific reason, in that when you get modern slashers, I just feel like they never do it right from the perspective of two things: the characters that you have and then the killer. So in this movie, what it does right is it's a killer. You don't know why they're doing it. You get a bit of resolution at the end, but there's no like reveal. There's no convoluted story as to why they're killing people. It's just something that they're doing, which is a lot of slasher movies do that, but it's nice when that is done. And then the characters I find in a lot of modern slashers are just all fuckheads.
Yeah.
And you just get a movie full of douche idiots, and then it's okay because they're all going to get murdered.
Yeah.
But this movie, surprisingly wisely, centers their assholes that you want to die around like these two people that are kind of charming. And they're not like amazing actors or anything, but there's like a kind of relationship, will they, won't they, with these two characters. And it's nice to have even just a little bit of charm to hinge these idiots that you're like, they're the dialogue for the friends are all like dumb and they're annoying.
Well, see, all the modern slashers, they do the mistake of just taking all your lambs for slaughter and like just and only using the Friday the 13th template of people to be killed.
Exactly.
Because they're all garbage. But Friday the 13th was really lucky because you don't always get a fucking Crispin Glover.
Exactly.
Who's going to do that crazy dance, you know? Or your Corey Feldman or a Kevin Bacon, like who are like helped elevate this nothing. Because what really worked, when you look back at the slashes that are great, if you look at A Nightmare on Elm Street, all those kids are really well-defined. And that's a lot of really good acting going on.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, and Nancy's home life is fucked up.
Yeah, and
there's something there to hang your
hat
on that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It isn't just a bunch of garbage people.
Totally.
Same thing with the good sequel. All the good sequels in Nightmare have interesting people.
Especially
the third one. Yeah. And then the original Halloween, obviously, Laurie Strode is an interesting character.
There's something there.
Like, there's something going on. There's a backstory. And it's Friday the 13th is the only one that just has a bunch of, they can't do anything right, and they're just like running around with boners.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it felt weird to be like, wow, finally, a little bit of a brush. It was like a half breath of fresh air, because the two characters at the middle of this movie, they're not amazingly defined, but it was like they had this kind of awkward charm to them, and like their friends were pushing them together to be like, oh, you guys should date or whatever, but there was kind of like a weird thing going on there. And it was nice that in the sense of the first murder in this movie, which is like pretty fucking brutal, the first murder in Hellfest, was somebody that I didn't want to die. I was like, oh no, like, you know, and it's not a great
I hope you did that in the theater.
It's not a great movie, but we had fun with it. And I felt like its charms were small, but they got me through. It could have used some more kills, to be honest. There's some stretches of it where they're just running around the haunted houses, and I'm like, it's a good thing I like haunted houses, because I'll watch them run around in it, but I would prefer there to be some more action going on here. But yeah, it's like a 3-star movie, but I got what I wanted out of it. And for it to least understand that, like, you got to give me something to be charmed by instead of just idiots. I was like, well, at least you knew that movie.
Yeah.
And it does have like a fun little twist at the end that like explains some things, but not too much. It's like nothing brilliant, but yeah, it's Hellfest. When it comes on Netflix, you'll watch it and be like, okay, not bad.
Yeah.
I expect a lot worse at a mainstream horror in movie theaters than this. So
yeah,
I was at least happy that it wasn't like garbage.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I'll watch this when it comes to me.
Yeah, when it's on Netflix, give like it a
poster.
Whirl. Yeah,
Hellfest.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So we got to do our album then.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, did you listen to any of the album?
I listened to it 3 times.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're amazing.
I gave Greg and Casey. Casey got off. I guess maybe he already listened to it.
No. Yeah, what an asshole you are, Casey. I had to listen to this fucking record for
the
you.
New I hope Charlotte. He listened to it and didn't get a chance to bitch about it. It was the worst punishment.
I was like, Good Charlotte have a new album, and they look very goth on the cover, so let's see what's going on here. Yeah. They played a concert with Dr. Phil on TV or something, and Dr. Phil was all gothed up. Yeah. Go check that out online.
You check it out, Dan Gorman.
Yeah. So what are they up to? I feel like it's been a long time.
The same
Dan,
you have dumb to read, you have to garbage. Read
that. That's from the Apple Music webpage. That,
oh, yeah.
That's the synopsis of it.
Confronts the opioid crisis.
That's right. The Madden Brothers. The Madden Brothers return their anthemic... I can't even read it.
They're anthemic
garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate this fucking band so much. I've always hated them so deeply. And there was nothing worse than when they were on top of the world. And I had to listen to this fucking shit all the time. This dog shit dressed up like punk or something. And they're just Backstreet Boys songs. That's what these are. They're Backstreet Boys songs with guitars.
Yeah.
That is fucking it. Except they're songs about how fucking demented they are.
And is I'm that like, what this album's like?
More of the same, like, oh, pain and death. I'm like, dude, you're 45. You are 45. What is with this fucking song, okay?
Yeah.
Write me a song about paying your mortgage. Give me an adult song. Like, I mean, this is not the way to deal with any kind of, like, anything emotional or stress or depression related. Like, a 45-year-old still addressing things like he's a fucking teenager? Are you fucking kidding me? Who is this for? No, one, no adult is going to be like, me too.
Yeah.
I'm a dumb idiot. I hate this fucking band. I don't, you know what? And I listened to it, and I was listening to it, and I'm like, my brain won't even let me listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what these songs sounded like, because my brain just goes, and it's playing, and I'm like, I can't retain anything. These garbage lyrics, this nothing. And all I could think was like, this sounds like the Backstreet Boys.
Just I go back to like my 12-year-old, 13-year-old self who loved Guns N' Roses and Glossy Motley Crue and Poison.
Yeah.
Warrant and shit,
right?
And Guns N' Roses, I won't quite put that same category, but nevertheless, so there were a couple parts where I was just like, you know, I was like, do I recognize like the feelings that I'm having like listening to this? Like, and you're right, and it's like, no, I shouldn't recognize. And then when children start singing, and there's that psychiatrist call, in the one song. It's like, just tell me about your dreams or whatever. Yeah. And it's like a little kid talking.
Yeah.
It's really quite brutal. One song, Dan, you have to listen to it because there's one song. Yeah. It is the song called Prayers.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
shit.
A ripoff of the Weezer song.
Which song?
The one about music. The one about all the songs. The songs that we are singing. It's on the Red Album.
Oh, I don't know. Oh,
yeah. It's I don't know the name of the song, but it's on the Red Album, and it's the one about music.
Okay.
And it is, the melody is almost completely ripped off.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
they could have ripped off a better Weezer album.
They could have done that.
Is that one of the cruddy ones, the Red Album?
Well,
the Red
many one's not so good. Them, but,
when was the Red one?
The red one had pork and beans.
Pork and beans, oh, yeah. God. Yeah, this is 9 songs, and I'm just like, thank God, but sort of strange that they have that they're showing some restraint, I guess.
Oh.
Well, but the...
I pictured, like, the gothy cover. In my mind, I was like, okay, they're really going to lean away from what they used to be, and now they're going to be like a moody band or like a gothy band.
They're always moody, but in like a big like party anthem way.
Because I don't understand how you can have the artifice of being punk or whatever the fuck they are, and then have a record that is that slickly produced. Well,
the old stuff, too. Overproduced fucking garbage.
Yeah.
The worst. It's like, you know, like how older hip hop guys or people are, you know, don't like the mumble rap and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Like when this was coming out, like all punk, whatever, even if you weren't like full on punk, if you were just like came up in the grunge era, if that was your, it was like, this, what is this fake garbage?
Yeah. Like, even when I was into...
And I felt sadness for the teenagers that this was their high school. Yeah. I felt deep sadness for you.
Even when I was into that kind of music, when this came out, I was like, no, thank you.
Good for you.
Their band would get
good for you. Yeah.
Like,
you.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Well, if you do decide to dip in...
What a bummer if that was your teenage years. Fuck off! You suck.
That's Benji.
Oh, Benji and Joel. Benji and Joel. I hate your band so much.
Well, how are we going to do a punishment reversal or no? Because the loser's not actually here. To give it to us. Maybe we could ask him online, and he'll give it to us to listen to. We'll report back next week.
Did he watch this loser movie?
Know.
Did he listen to this album? I don't know that he's allowed to give me another album.
Okay, should we just get a week off from Punishment album then, I guess?
Okay. Maybe. I can't think of a better...
Yeah. Alternative?
Yeah.
Unless you want to listen to the tribute to David Bowie I have saved for someday.
I think you guys should each pick an album that Casey has to listen to and report back on. You should each give him
a
fucking...
He has to listen to two albums?
He has to listen to one from each of you. Sorry,
all right,
Casey.
Casey's listening to the tribute to David Bowie. I'll save you later.
Oh.
You can cut out my recommendation saying that should be the case.
No, you know what? If we get to do that, I'm going to give Casey the... new album by Joan of Arc.
You're the best.
The new one, because there's a new
one. A new one?
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah.
I second
just
that.
Just that, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Enjoy.
Oh, wonderful. Great time.
All right. Well, then
that's for making me listen to Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it's time
good
to roll.
God. Oh, this nice new dice. I don't know where it is, though.
Oh, well, I got
upstairs.
The old...
We got dice from the museum.
Oh. So this week it's Halloween.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
Halloween's
new Halloween
out.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Loser.
Yeah. What was the one? Psycho
well,
Santa?
Yeah. Well, I was like, we need a really shitty slasher movie. And so I found one that looks misguided. And also, why not blend the holidays? Because
yeah,
what's right around the corner as soon as Halloween's done? What's
Christmas?
So Psycho Santa.
Sweet.
This movie is from 2003 and on IMDb. The plot is unknown at this time. It's been 15 years. We still don't really know.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's got 2.3 out of 10.
Great.
Written and directed by Peter Keir. What else has he done? Wolfica.
What? Wolfica?
Wolfica.
Okay.
Something has come to town, a loop-garoo.
Are you talking words?
He's just naming all the IKEA furniture in the room.
A loop-garoo, the locals call it. But John and Jason, on the way into the woods, knew nothing of the gruesome discoveries.
Is this Psycho Santa?
No, I'm reading the Wolfica. Bodies savaged by a beast neither man nor wolf, but possessing the worst qualities of both.
Oh.
Sounds like something you guys have already watched, though.
It's like he's a wolf. He's a mean wolf. He's also racist and lazy. He's late
he
for work.
The toilet seat up.
Yeah, he doesn't signal when he's changing lanes. All the worst qualities
around.
Of man.
Yeah. Well, I here's...
Jeez.
Psycho Santa, I found the synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
While en route to a holiday gathering, young Ron teases his wife about the legend of a backwoods Santa with an axe to grind. However, when the legend comes to life, the Christmas bash turns into a holiday bloodbath.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Sweet.
Oh, it's an anthology?
Is it?
I just thought I saw something about that.
Hmm.
What do these reviews say? Bad, bad movie.
Terrible,
very
amateurish
poor.
Effort. We'll put even most
pathetic.
most patient of viewers through the paces.
Yeah, very good.
Feels twice as long.
Okay, very good.
Avoid.
Sign me up.
Nope.
I am curious about Wolfica too in their loop crew.
It's so weird because that's not on Letterboxd. So
Wolfica?
Yeah.
It's on IMDb.
All right.
Very good.
Well, it's time to roll.
Yeah.
All right. I'm rolling.
And Jamie will roll for Casey.
That's a 7.
It is a 7.
All right. That's a 5.
That's a 5.
Casey.
What do you got for
Here
Casey?
You go. Tried to just put it to a two. That's a one.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Psycho Santa for Casey.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Very nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
Pretty
I'll see you
nice.
Halloween then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That'll make Athena happy.
Amazing. So next week we will talk about the new Joan of Arc album. Well, Casey will. And
you and I will sit back and laugh.
and laugh. Casey will be very mad. we'll talk about Halloween and Psycho Santa.
Mm-hmm.
How should we end? Should we end this? Where can everybody find you, Jamie? Do you have multiple projects that you can plug? We did fully and completely off the top.
Yeah. I recently launched a Patreon campaign for A Show of Strength.
Yes.
And you can find A Show of Strength at www.ashowofstrength.com. And that's my mental health related project that I was talking about earlier.
So good. Mm. Amazing. So do that. You know.
And you got a crazy AIDS night coming up, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. There's a big one coming up on the 25th of October. If you're in the Toronto area and you're not celebrating, you're not going to a Halloween party that night, or you can show up in a costume.
Yeah.
And we're doing a big night. Every previous winner of this competitive stand-up comedy night is coming back to re-defend. And then we are announcing a headlining comic tomorrow as well. So
nice.
Yeah.
Same host as the last one?
He's
terrific.
He is really good.
What's his name?
His name is Kyle Bergstresser.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner... of this, but cut that. Sorry.
Fair enough. Yeah. So you see a bunch of great comics.
Yeah, there's going to be eight comics plus a host plus a headlining comics.
Yeah.
Do the math there. That's 10 comics.
That's 10.
It's 20,
yeah.
20 bucks to get in. Smokes. Comics get paid.
Yeah.
It's a good night. We donate money to.
Where are you doing it?
It's going to be at the Social Capital Theater, which is 154 Danforth Avenue, steps away from Broadview Station.
That's nice.
And your Twitter account is A Show of Strength, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Because if you go there, you'll find, I find that you'll tweet all that stuff out, right? So
like,
you'll tweet about the night there as well and on your website, I assume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Sweet. So that's what you need to do, listener. And then we will, as always, see you next Wednesday. We will see you again. Goodbye, Internet.
Leave. The bear.
Leave the bear. Leave it in the corner.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.